Can you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Judges in the chapter 6? Judges chapter 6, and we'll read together from verse 11 down to the verse 24. Judges chapter 6, and we'll begin our reading at verse 11. And the word of God says, "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Until this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless this reading of his own inspired word. Let us just come to the Lord in prayer as we come to his word. My text for the day is found in verse 24. It is that name that is given to the Lord, Jehovah Shalom, which we all know means the Lord our peace, or the Lord is peace. So let us just seek the Lord at this stage. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word, which is open before us. Lord, what a blessing it is to have in our hands the words of God that have been given to us by inspiration. And Father, we do pray that the living word will, Lord, even go deep into our hearts this day. And Lord, we're asking that you will speak deep into the soul. Lord, we confess that we need thy word this day, and we're longing for the Lord to speak to us. We pray that you will do so now through thy word. We ask this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This passage of God's precious word marks a turning point in the life of Gideon and of Israel. In the previous 7 years to this event, there had only been bad news and sorrow for the people of Israel. At that time, they were being judged by the Lord through the instrument of the heathen nation of Midian. If you look in chapter 6 and the verse 1, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years." And so God had given the people over to be judged. This judgment came because of the sin of God's people, resulting in the land being pillaged and the people living in fear from the Midianites. We read in verse 2, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds." And so they were in hiding, they were living in fear from the Midianites. Now it was into this situation that the Lord revealed himself to Gideon and spake to him words of peace. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, revealing that he was to be used of the Lord to deliver Israel from the Midianites. We read that in verse 14, where the Lord said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" Now, furthermore, the angel assures Gideon of his continued presence and future victory over the Midianites. And so this was really a wonderful revelation here by God. The nation are being under attack all this period of time, and nothing is being done. And here the Lord comes to Gideon and tells him that God is going to use him to deliver the people. Now, Gideon himself asks that the angel give him a sign to verify and to make the message certain to him. Now, the word angel here in our passage, because it speaks of the angel of the Lord, the word angel means messenger. And therefore, the one in view that is speaking to Gideon is the messenger of Jehovah, the messenger of Jehovah. He appears frequently in the Old Testament in this role of a prophet. And it is an interesting study. If you go through the Old Testament and you look at every time it refers to the angel of the Lord or the angel of Jehovah, and he occurs very often, and he always comes as a prophet, as a messenger, as one who brings a message. And therefore, we conclude that the angel of the Lord is none other than the Prince of Peace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. This fact is proven as well when we consider Gideon's reaction to the angel, because Gideon understood that he had been communing with God, that he had been communing with Jehovah. You look in verse 22. "And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.' And the Lord said unto him, 'Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die.'" Now Gideon was fearful that he was going to die because he says, "I've seen the angel of the Lord." And we know that the word of God tells to us that no man can see the Lord and live. So it's very clear to us here that Gideon was fearful because he realized that he had seen Jehovah, he had seen Jesus Christ. And so he's filled with fear. And yet the Lord brings to him words of peace and of comfort. It was Jesus Christ himself who spoke with Gideon, who brought these words of peace. And is that not a surprise to us? For Jesus Christ is the one who brings peace. And what a blessing it is for each one of us who know and love the Lord to know Jesus Christ, who is peace. What peace he brought to our troubled soul when in sin he found us. What peace he brings in the billows of trials and sufferings when they come upon us, and they do in life. We think of that scene when the apostles are in the boat on the Sea of Galilee and the waves are coming upon them and they're battling against them. And the waves are overcoming them. And we read that the Lord Jesus Christ came walking upon the tops of the waves. And he said to them, "It is I, be not afraid." And into that situation, the Lord comes and brings peace to these troubled men. We not recall that when our Savior was born, he was announced as being peace, goodwill to all men. And so we're just noticing then that peace comes only from Jesus Christ. And again, that confirms to us that the one who is speaking here to Gideon is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so that is what I want to consider with you this morning from God's word. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. And I want you to see with me firstly that this name reveals the sinfulness of man. This name reveals the sinfulness of man. Look with me in verse 22, as we've read earlier. "And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.'" Now, the significance of the revelation of Christ as our peace is realized when we consider the broken and hostile relationship between a sinful man and a holy God. You see, if we don't realize that we are sinners and our relationship with God is broken, that a holy God can never have a relationship with sinful men, then we will never appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ is our peace. You see, man's sin is the reason for the separation that exists between God and men. And only Christ, our peace, can resolve this, can bring reconciliation, can unite parties that would never be united if it were not for Jesus Christ to come and to stand between these two and to bring reconciliation and to be the mediator. And I want you to observe with me here that God's holiness highlights man's sin. Why did Gideon say this? Why did he feel fear? Why was he concerned that he may die? It was because he realized he was standing before God. He's fearfully conscious of his own wickedness. And see the connection there, dear people. That in the presence of the holy God, man's sin is exposed. And we really need to get a hold of that today, because as God's people, so often we trivialize sin and we don't think it's really that big of a deal. And there's sin in our lives and we do not deal with it. We do not put it to death. Because if we're honest, we do not truly know to the degree that we should the holiness of God. And whenever we do, whenever we begin to understand the holiness of God, our sin will be increasingly exposed and revealed. That is why when you read the biographies of great men of faith, the more they began to know God and the longer their life lived, the more they lamented their sin. The more they realized how rotten they were to the core. And the same thing is seen here with Gideon. He realized that the glory and holiness of Christ. And as he begins to see this, he's filled with fear. And yet, let us recognize too that the holiness and peace of Christ go hand in hand. For the peace that Christ brings to reconcile sinful men to a holy God is the peace that brings sinners to a holy God, that brings sinners to himself. You think of Gideon's reaction, and when we consider it, it reminds us of that scene where Isaiah himself has a vision of the glory of God. And what is his response to that? "Woe is me, For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." You see, that is the reaction of a man who truly has seen the Lord in all of his holiness and glory. And I wonder whether or not that is an experience that we have had. And I wonder whether or not that is the reason why so often in our lives sin seems to continue on. And we do not deal with it in the manner that we should. You see, how much do we realize how awful sin is in the sight of God? How deplorable, how horrible it is in His sight. That God cannot stand in the presence of sin. And therefore, we must, as God's people, put to death sin and crucify the flesh and seek to be as holy as we can by God's help. You see, sin's effect upon man is that it ruins the relationship between him and God. Oh yes, sin makes men and women an enemy of God. And therefore, men and women need the Lord Jesus Christ so much. You turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, to wit, or that is to think, or to meditate upon, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, dear people today, understand why I'm dwelling on this point of the sinfulness of man. Because I want you to understand today what Jesus Christ has done for you. And why he should be so precious to you. Because he has brought peace to your soul. And he has reconciled you to a holy God. Look at the words there. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And we do not have time to go into all that Christ has done to reconcile men, but we know that that is the case. And Christ has done that for you, dear believer. He is the mediator, the one who stood between you and God, that he might bring peace between you and God. Do not read of that in Romans 5 and the verse 1. And you turn with me there because I want you to look at this very carefully. Romans 5 and the verse 1. And again we see the very same thing. Romans 5 and the verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as you begin then to, in your life, see the holiness of God and your sin is exposed and you begin to realize more and more what a sinner you are, what should that do to you? It should exalt Christ in your mind. It should make you even more flee to Him day to day by faith. You see, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, when we think of this name, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, it is a name that points us to Jesus Christ and says to you and to me this day that even as sinners, yes, we're saved men and women, and God has had mercy upon us. But the only way that we could be brought into relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. Does that not make him precious to you today? Is it not a wonder that he is able to deal with your sin and present you before God cleansed and righteous? Should that not elevate Christ in your mind and in your worship? Oh yes, we are sinners, But Jesus Christ is the one who brings peace. But then I want you to see with me as well that this name reveals the sacrifice of Christ. It reveals the sacrifice of Christ. You see, what preceded these words of peace spoken by Jehovah was the offering up of a sacrifice and the sign that God had accepted it. You look with me in verse 17. There Gideon says, and he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the yoke, and presented it. I want you to notice here that unleavened cakes were part of the sacrifice. Unleavened cakes. And the unleavened cakes speak of the purity of the sacrifice. A sacrifice that has no corruption and no sin. And the very same picture is seen in the preparation of the Passover. And you turn with me to Exodus 12, please. And keep your finger in Exodus 12 because we're going to look at this a little more. Exodus 12 and the verse 8. It says there, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And then look at verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And so there in the preparation of the Passover, unleavened bread was there. It was important that the bread be unleavened because it points us to the sinlessness and impeccability of Jesus Christ. You see, our Savior was without sin, and it is for that reason that he could be the substitute for sinners. We learn from that then that peace with God comes through the death of one who is without sin. You understand that today. And that means to you that you can never be saved apart from Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Peace with God only comes through the death of one who is without sin. And the amazing thing is that that sinless one became sin for us. He died the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. You see, what mercy and grace is on display when Christ became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There was the unleavened cakes, but then notice as well that a slain animal was part of the sacrifice. We read in verse 19, and Gideon went in and made ready a kid. A kid was taken. It was killed. Its blood was shed. And again, we have a parallel with Exodus 12. And look again in Exodus 12 and verse 5 and 6. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up unto the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. You see, here the Lord is telling Moses that what will preserve, what will cover the people from death is the blood. It's the blood that is being focused upon here in Exodus 12. And as believers, we need to realize then and we need to recognize the importance of the sacrifice and more especially the shedding of blood. In regards to salvation, Leviticus 17 and the verse 11 tells us that it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. There is no other way for God to atone for sin apart from the shedding of blood. And that verse in Leviticus 17:11 could actually be read this way: it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement for the soul. And you realize then what made Christ's sacrifice so unique and so special and actually able to deal with sin. Because Christ's offering upon the cross, his death upon the cross, was the offering up of a sinless life. It is the blood by reason of the life. What gives value to the blood of Christ? What makes the blood of Christ atoning? It is because it is the blood that comes from the God-man. It is the blood that comes from a man who was perfect, who was sinless. And do you realize what that means? Christ gave a sacrifice that we could not give. A sacrifice of a sinless life of conformity to God's word. And that is why Christ's death and shedding of blood can cleanse you, can deliver you from your sin and save you. You see, the shedding of the blood of the animal points us so clearly to Christ and the cross, because there the Savior was slain, and he was slain by the shedding of his blood. That's so important. Christ died by the shedding of his blood, and it had to be that way because of what we just considered. And isn't it wonderful that Jesus Christ did shed his blood that he might bring peace between you and God? You turn with me to Colossians 1 and the verse 20. Colossians 1 and the verse 20. And you notice here the connection between the blood and peace with God. Colossians 1 and the verse 20. Colossians 1 and the verse 20. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." So there do you see it, dear believer. Reconciliation, peace with God, has come for you because Christ shed his blood. What a blessing that is. But there's another thing I want you to see, and that is that the fire consumed the sacrifice. The fire consumed the sacrifice. You look there in verse 21. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight." You see, this was a supernatural event. The fire came up out of the rock, and the sacrifice was placed upon the rock, and so the sacrifice was consumed with fire. And this was the fire of God being poured out upon the sacrifice, and it signifies to us the pouring out of God's wrath upon sin, and the acceptance of the offering by God. And again, the very same thing is seen in Exodus 12. You look with me in Exodus 12, and you will see how the sacrifice was treated by the people of Israel. Look in verse 8 and 9. It says, "And they shall eat the flesh in that night," and notice these words, "roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof." Now you ask yourself this morning, why was it so important that the sacrifice here, and the animal that was slain and its blood shed, why was it so important that it be roast with fire? Why was it that it couldn't have been eaten raw or sodden with water? It's because God, by this means, was teaching the people of Israel that the sacrifice had to be burnt with fire because God's wrath falls upon the sacrifice. And you observe in this scene in Judges chapter 6, and this is really wonderful, that the fire did not consume Gideon. The fire consumed the sacrifice. Do you understand that this morning? Here was Gideon, a sinful man. He's fearful of his life. He's seen God. He's the one who should experience death and judgment. And yet the fire falls upon the sacrifice. Is that not a wonderful picture of our Savior as the substitute? Is it not true that at the cross, the sinner is freed and the substitute is slain? Did not our Savior taste and drink the full cup of God's wrath upon Calvary that we might be delivered? Is that not a blessing for you today? And realize that, dear child of God. You should have been banished to hell for your sin. And yet God in His mercy poured out His wrath upon Christ in your stead. And the fire consumed Him. And He experienced the sufferings and the agonies that should have been yours. And He died. And that was so that you and me could be delivered. You see, this is what our Savior did for us. And again, I say to you, does that not elevate our Lord, our Savior, the Prince of Peace? Does that not elevate Him in your mind and fill your heart with thankfulness and praise to Him this day? Our time has gone, and I can't believe it, because I actually had a third point here. And I'll just mention it with you. And that is that this name reveals the security of believers. I'll just finish with this. The angel of the Lord assured Gideon that he had nothing to fear. He said to Gideon that he wouldn't die. And the Lord of peace promised Gideon peace. And you will see that this assurance came on the basis of the acceptance of the sacrifice. You see, sin had been put away by the sacrifice. And that means that the believer will not die. We read of that in Hebrews 9 in the verse 26, that Christ has come to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And there's a marvelous parallel passage. If you turn with me to Judges 13 and the verse 19 to 23. And we'll close with this, because there's a very similar scene here with Manoah's wife. And remember, they were the parents of Samson. Judges 13 and the verse 19. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these." Now, you realize, Manoah, this scene is almost identical to Gideon's. And they were fearful for their life. But what does Manoah's wife say there? She recognized that they were safe. They weren't going to die. Why? Because the Lord had received the sacrifice. Because the Lord had accepted the sacrifice. Look at her words. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Now understand what that means for you today, dear believer. That the ground of your acceptance before God is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why you are not going to die, spiritually speaking. That is why you are going to be with Christ forever. And let me just close by saying this. That perhaps today you do not know peace in your own heart. You're troubled by your sin and your conscience is troubled because you realize your sin and you feel as though you've got to do things to please God. And let me comfort you with these words. That what is the ground of your acceptance here today? Is it your good works? Is it your prayer life or how much you read your Bible or how often you attend church or how much you try to live a holy life? What is it? That's what Manoah said here. And it's what Gideon saw as well. God has accepted the sacrifice. God has accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it is for that reason, dear people, that you are safe, that you have peace with God, that you stand upon the rock, Jesus Christ. You see, the soul is safe for all eternity in Jesus Christ, for the saving power of the cross will never diminish. You see, every believer can enjoy peace and security through Jesus Christ because his sacrifice has been accepted by God. I leave that with you today. I'm sorry for going on. I've no idea how that watch has gone so fast, but I'm sorry for going on, but I wanted to end with that because I fear many believers are troubled in these days because they do not understand God has accepted the sacrifice, and it is for that reason that you have peace with God, and it is for that reason that you will go to heaven. And again, does that not elevate Jesus Christ in your mind? Do you not thank God for Christ, who has made a sacrifice that God has been pleased to accept? You see, that's what the resurrection tells us. God has accepted the sacrifice. And that is why you can have peace today. And so you go home today. And yes, realize your sin. But you look to Calvary, you look to the cross, and you thank God that that is where you can have peace. And you thank God that Christ has made a sacrifice that God has accepted. That is why you can have peace and security and assurance in this life. I trust that these thoughts have been a blessing to your heart. Let us just